Thank you, Pastor. My goodness. It's good to see you all. Just glad that we have a word from God that we don't have to live through Noah's time again. So anyway, it's plenty of rain, but God said wouldn't do it again. So, and let me, I just respond to that. I feel humbled at that. And of course, I don't see myself that way. But anyway, do you know, I think it was yesterday, maybe. We were out, we were driving on the road going somewhere, of course, but, and we just said these words out of our mouth. If I could go anywhere and find another pastor, I wouldn't want to, because I don't know of any place I would want to go. I'd rather have Pastor Eddie as my pastor. I mean that. That's, I don't say that because he's sitting here. He's not going to take up a special offering because I said that. But, but he's, you know, I talk to new people, get to occasionally, and invite them here. And this is a safe place. It's a good place. It's a place where the word is preached. The Spirit is moving. And we are headed toward a move of God unprecedented to anything I believe we've ever seen. I believe that. You probably hear me say this a lot, because this is the passion of my heart right now, is for a revival. Interesting enough, let me just talk a minute. Interesting enough, I see doors beginning to open that are green lights to what I just said. You know, I came out, Jen and I came out of the Methodist, didn't come out angry. We came out of obedient. We just, the Lord said, do this, we did it. And so, you can imagine the snow. So, let me back up. No small stir among the denomination I was in. And, so that's kind of been back there, but now, let me just say this to you. Friday night, Saturday night, I am privileged to be preaching in First Baptist Church in Collinwood. I was going to say Waynesboro. I was there the other day. And just denominational churches that are opening up because they're hungry. And I think when you get this one and this one and this one, then a synergy starts to be created, and before you know it, an awakening starts to take place. I think we'll have an incredible move of God around the world when all hell is breaking loose. But so be it. We pray, Lord, tonight for Afghanistan and all of our brothers and sisters there. Our hearts ache, Lord, when we hear and know some of what's going on there. And Lord, as Grace House believers, and for those that are here tonight, we join our hearts in praying some way, somehow. Lord, as they prayed for Peter, Mary's house, when he was in prison, ready to be executed. Lord, deliver. Protect, we pray, those that are on the front line there. So, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over Afghanistan and decree Jesus is still Lord to the glory of God the Father. Grant us your anointing to speak and hear tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bible and turn with me, and just share some things of my heart tonight. I am honored to be here, stand here behind a man like Pastor Eddie. And well, Galatians chapter 2, there's three verses primarily I want to deal with tonight. Three particular verses, starting in verse 19. We will talk about them and try to explain a few things along the way. Paul says in verse 19, Galatians chapter 2, "For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I don't know if you're underlining your Bible. That's a good place. We'll get back to it. Then he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not, verse 21, I do not set aside, depends on your translation, the Old King James used the word frustrate. It actually translates to neutralize or to cause to be not what it ought to be. That's my translation. So Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. I know you know this, but that is three power-packed verses. First of all, let me try to define the word grace, because it says here, I do not set aside or frustrate, make neutral, or he went on to say, if I do that, then the death, the cross was not what it was supposed to be. So the word neutral, or to frustrate, the grace of God. So what is grace? And if you have your theological books, it'll tell you it's unmerited favor and how true it is. This is what I think, and this is my translation. The grace of God is God's favor, God's availability to himself through his Son without our having to earn it. That's a practical application. It's God's favor. It's God's availability of what his Son did. And he's made all of who the Son is and what he's done available to us without us having to earn it, but who are willing to receive it. So I want to look at that with you, because that's my text verse. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, let's go back to verse 19. Paul said, I through the law died to the law that I might live unto God. That's a powerful verse. I through the law died to the law that I might live unto God. Now, there's nothing wrong with the law, because the law was sent from God. The law was sent perfect to an imperfect people, and they did not, nor could they, by their own endeavors, keep the law of God. It's kind of put in a capsule in the Ten Commandments, if you will. But the law of God, Paul said, I through the law, because he tells us in other places, the law caused me to know I needed the Lord. It was the law that convicted me of my sin. But the law couldn't save me. The law could only correct me. So Paul said, I through the law, when I saw the law, I read the law, and I knew I was guilty, I through the law died to the law that I might live unto God. So what he's saying, and he will go on to explain it to us, I through the law died to the law by the grace of God. I no longer live under the law, but I now live under the grace given to me by God himself. Therefore, I am free to live unto God. That's the gospel. And so he said, through the law, I died to the law that I might live unto God. And then he went on to say, I died to the law. I love this, as I've already stated. Now I can live unto God. I love Paul's word in Romans 8:2. You don't have to turn there. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now please understand me, and I usually get a frown out of June when I say these things here, but it's inside of me. Love didn't save you. The Bible says in Romans, we are saved by his life. You know what it says? Now, for God so loved us, what did he do? His love for us caused him to give his son for us, that we by his life might be saved. Does God love us? Absolutely beyond a human explanation. That's not the point. The love of God is God's knock on every heart to let him in and be himself. God is love. That's the very nature of his being. But it was the life of his son that has saved us. So Paul said, we now live unto God, and I love the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has saved us, has forgiven us, has come to live in us through the life of his son. And how many of you know the law of sin is still available? But Paul said, we've been delivered from the law of sin and death. How? Through his life. Now let me illustrate it to you. This is the best one I know. And if you've heard me say this, you know, a number of years ago, Gene and I, for the very first time, I was a country boy and I'd never been on an airplane. And we were honored and privileged to go to Israel. And I remember going to Birmingham, getting an airplane, and my first trip. And I'm sitting there, and I don't know who's driving this thing. I mean, the captain didn't introduce himself to me when I got on the plane. So we sit down, and we taxi down, and you know, and we're coming down to the starting point to come down the runway to take off and start our trip to Israel. But we got a problem. There's the law of sin and death. Or you could call it this. There's the law of gravity. The law of gravity works. It works in England. It works in Kenya. It works wherever. The law of gravity works. You understand? But we now have to fly an airplane en route to Israel. So what has to happen? Something greater than the law of gravity has to take place. For the law of life in Christ Jesus. So, I'm sitting there, and you know that pilot flowboards that thing. I still remember, push you back in your seat, you know. And here we're going down the runway, and before you know it, you can just see the little white lines look solid now. And before you know it, you're off the ground. And before you know it, the pilot comes on and said, we're now flying at 30,000 feet. We'll be in whatever destination and whatever time it will take to get there. What's going on? Now watch this. The law of aerodynamics has overpowered the law of gravity. And as long as that works, the law of gravity has no power or authority over the law of aerodynamics. Only thing you had to do is turn off the engine, we crash. When I stepped into Jesus, the law, now listen to me, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I stepped into. I came down the runway. I'm now flying at 30,000 feet because of the law of life in Christ Jesus. What about the law of sin and death? Oh, it's still there, but I'm not going to turn off my engine. Jesus is my life. Isn't that the grace of God? I have many people say to me, you know, I can't live the Christian life. You know what? I always agree with them. It shocks them. I can't live it. I said, the Lord never asked you to. The Lord never said, can you live the Christian life? Just tell him I can't. He already knows that. You ever notice how many times we inform God as if God didn't know? He already knows. Just tell him you can't, because you can't. But the law of life in Christ Jesus by his grace will cause you to fly at 30,000 feet, even though the law of sin and death is still operating. That's the gospel. Now, I go back to this text that I just read here, and I want to talk about 4 points real quick, taken out of the text I just read. This is what I call the now life for a believer. First of all, Paul said, now there's a new identity because of God's grace. Let me look at it with you. Paul said, in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Do you notice? It's a new identity. Now, when I've been thinking about this today, when somebody says, so what's your name? I'm Doc Shell. But that's not who I am. What if I change my name? Does it change me? What if my name, I go into the proper channels and I want to be John Smith? Well, I'm John Smith now. Am I different than when I was named Doc Shell? No. Because Doc Shell is not my identity. It's my name, but it's not who I am. See, if I'm going to know who I am, I got to find a higher source to tell me. We've gotten ourselves caught in this nation in an identity crisis. We think the color of a man's skin identifies him or her. No, it doesn't. Because your skin is darker or lighter, doesn't identify. That's not who you are. That's where you're living. That's not who you are. Sometimes we use this economic situation. Well, they got money. Well, that don't make you who you are. I'm told this. I would never know. I've never been there. Some of the most miserable people on earth are the wealthiest people there is. So that's not who you are. Wealth don't identify you, nor does education or the lack of it. Well, I got a PhD and an MRT and whatever else. I got 14 degrees. Well, that's not who you are. Come on now. We now have substituted information to our identity that actually creates struggles and false pursuits, inferiority complexes and superiority complexes, etc. Personal appearance, that's not who you are. It's because you're beautiful or you don't think you're beautiful. That's not who you are. People's opinion. Well, I mean, everybody likes him or nobody likes him. That doesn't mean you who you are. How are you going to find out who you are? Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. I have a new identity. If I'm going to know who I am, I've got to ask somebody that knows the truth. And I don't know of anybody that knows the ultimate truth but God himself. So I don't ask God. Who am I? May I suggest four things to you right quick. First of all, you are who he says you are. You are who ultimate truth says you are. If you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, that's who he says you are. I don't care what color of your skin. I don't care where you're born. If that's who you are, that's your identity. I am a son or daughter of the Most High God. That's your identity. Second thing, may I suggest, you can become whoever he created you to become. I was in Sierra Leone a number of years ago, actually with Charles Karn. And Jim and Ann were on the Anastasis. We were staying there on the ship. The Anastasis docked there in Sierra Leone. We went way out in the country. At that time, Sierra Leone was the most impoverished African country on the continent. And I remember being in this church service and afterwards just standing around talking. And a young man, I would say 10, maybe 11 years old, could speak enough English, we could communicate. And I asked him a question. You got to know we're in Sierra Leone, way out in the country. Son, what do you want to be when you get to be an adult? This quick. He said, I want to be a doctor. My first thought says, you got to be kidding. Here? But listen, can you believe with me tonight that when God says, I can make you become who I've destined you to become. That's God. The third thing is you can do what he purposed you to do. I'm up here preaching tonight, and I'm not saying it's good. I'm just up here talking. I can remember when I was in high school giving oral reports, I just about soon had a root canal. I hate it. I was scared to death. I remember one time, I think June probably was there. I hope she's forgotten it. But in our home church where I was saved, I was supposed to teach or do something. And I got up like this, and I was so scared I couldn't talk. I just went to cry and wouldn't sit down. Still embarrasses me to think about it. I mean, can you imagine that? And that God would have the nerve to say, I want you to go, well, don't you understand I got a problem? Moses had it too. What's yours? Is God not bigger than your difficulty? Of course he is. You can do what his purpose is for you to do. The last thing is this: you can finish in life what God destined you in the beginning. How many know while you were yet in your mother's womb, God had a plan? God's not coming up with one. God's always had a plan. And he'll finish it. Just cooperate. So your identity is in who he says you are, not all these other substitutes. If we could get the church to understand their identity is not in their position or their money or their color of their skin and fill in the blank, but it's who God says they are, wouldn't it be good that we could just function as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus? That would not be wonderful? A new identity. I'm not going to be. I have been crucified with Christ. The interesting thing is, the second Adam came, right, Jesus, and identified with us. So therefore, when he died on the cross, we died with him. I love that. He died for us, but we died with him as a fallen race, because he took on the fallen race without sin and died for us and in our place. Wow. What else? Well, a new identity is a good start. Would you settle for a new beginning? How many of you know the Lord didn't send Jesus to patch up your old life? Mine was a mess. I expect yours was too. Your old life, what you were. Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. It's a new beginning. Jesus came to give you a new beginning. I love that. The old you died in Christ. The new you was buried. If we identify with him, we died at the cross. What did they do with Jesus? They put him in a tomb. Were you not in the tomb with him? Yes. Follow him all the way. At the cross, at the tomb, and then how about resurrection? Because the scripture is very clear, Ephesians 2:6, when he came out, we came out with him. Wow, that's a new beginning. All things have passed away. You know that scripture. All things have become new. All things have passed away. Everything in your past, in God's eyes, died, and now you have a new beginning in him. And you'll spend the rest of your life walking out that new beginning. That's a grace thing, not what I can do. The longer I live, and I guess I'll have to live to be a couple of hundred to figure it all out, but the longer I live, the more I realize that he, moment by moment, is becoming my everything. He doesn't just give healing, he is my healing. He doesn't just give deliverance, he is my deliverance. In him, we live and move and have our being. He becomes my everything. I tell you, kind of silly, but you know, I'm shaving this morning, and I'd finished shaving, and the hot water at the sink where I was just starts pouring water. Well, that means something, and so I've got to cut everything off and undo this and unscrew this, and a washer blown out in it, and you know, I don't know what yours is like, but some of these faucets, you've got to get the spring just right and the little washer just right, and it wasn't going in there right. Every time I'd get in there, it'd turn this way. So I just stopped, and you'd think this is silly, but I'm learning this now. I said, Holy Spirit, would you just help me get this thing in here? Because without him, I can do nothing. Does that mean a spring and a little rubber washer in it? Well, I think it's everything, and nothing would fit into that. So I said, Holy Spirit, would you help me do this? God's my witness. That sucker dropped right in there. Put the top on that thing. It worked. It worked. Well, I had a whole sack of those little washers. I bought a whole sack of them. So when I needed one, I go in there where I thought I put them. I couldn't. If it don't bite me, I don't find it. But anyway. Hush, baby. And I looked and I looked and I looked. And I couldn't find them. Well, I'm now about to get in the shower. Then I'm going down to the hardware to get some washers. But there's a sack in this house somewhere. But I can't find them. So I'm getting ready. Well, no, I've already showered. So I'm getting ready to go down to the hardware to get some. And I said, Lord, would you tell me where those things are? And I didn't hear a voice, but I had an impression. Go back and look in that same drawer. Really? I already looked in it once. You know, as if, God, don't you know they're not in there? Because I've already looked. God is my witness. I go back in there, open that drawer, and them suckers are laying right there. And I had looked all through that drawer and declared they wasn't in there. What I'm telling you, God, let me tell you one more. Dudley Hall is a dear friend, lives in Texas. He said, I was sitting at a red light behind a camper, RV. He said, I'm sitting here like this, and the Holy Spirit said, Dudley, back up. He said, why? And just sat there. All of a sudden, that camper come flying backwards. Bam! Hit old Dudley's front of his car. He said, the Spirit of God said, I'm trying to teach you to listen. How many of you know that the Lord will use what looks like silly things, like a washer or, you know, washers and a bag, little things that are really immaterial in the long run for the more serious matters? That's because you had a new beginning. You're not living the way you were. You're living a new life. I love Colossians 1:27, and I have to keep moving here, but I love it when Paul said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the confident expectation that things will change for the better. That's hope. And the glory is the manifestation of who God is in you and through you. Christ in you is the confident expectation that things, because of it, will get better. And because the glory of God will be shown through you. The only hope America has is sitting in this room. Not you, but who lives in you. I'm going to tell you, the only hope we've got is the Spirit of God to blow His breath on us again. And I'm trusting that He will. Can you agree with that? Say amen. So, it's just a new beginning. And let me do two more real quick. Now it's a new lifestyle. I mean, how many of you know when you got married, things changed? I mean, every Saturday night before I got married, we went somewhere Friday night, did something with the boys. And I got married, I didn't do that. Why? The one I was chasing, I found. And I June was sitting home with a 45, and I was afraid to move. So watch what Paul said. New life. Watch this. It's a new beginning. Now listen, it's a new lifestyle. Listen what Paul, I live by faith of the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, I live by faith in who Jesus is. I live by faith in what He has done. I live by faith in what He has said. Well, what about my five senses? God gave them to me. Yes, He did. But God gave you another dynamic called faith in what He has done, who He is, and what He has said that's more powerful than your five senses. Your five senses is wonderful. God gave them to us. But I can tell you one thing. Every bit of your five senses is subject to change. You can see it and go, Do you ever say that? If I could see it, I'd believe it. I've said it. Then I saw it and go, I don't believe it. And I'm looking right at it. My five senses are wonderful, but they're all natural. Faith is a supernatural, vertical, trusting God above your five senses. You didn't get saved because you felt saved. You got saved because of faith. You believed God, and God forgave you. Wow, it's a new lifestyle, living by faith. What did God say? You know, the church has forgotten that at large. I'm not talking about you necessarily, but the church has forgotten. What did God say when it comes to all of this gender junk and all of this garbage that's floating around? What did God say? Because if I lose my reference point, I've lost the truth. And the Word of God is the truth. What God in Christ did for us, who He is, what He has said, is the amen. I used to see bumper stickers, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Only part of that's the truth. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. And you know, when God says it, that's it. I don't have to believe it. Just like gravity, you don't have to believe in gravity, just see if it works. So this new lifestyle is a faith life. It's trusting what God has done in His Son, in who He is and what He has said in the natural. Just suppose that I had, my dad's in heaven now, but suppose I'd gotten a letter a week ago, Dear Doc and June, I'm coming, your mom and I are coming to Florence, and we would love to stay a couple of days with you, and we'll be there next Monday. Okay, I read the letter, I got the word, and you know what? We start planning on their coming on Monday. But you know, how you feel about it? What has that got to do with it? Do you feel like they're coming? I don't know how to feel about it. I just know what he said. Well, have you heard anything? No, but I read something. So we start functioning on the basis of the word we got from Father, not on our five senses. Do you understand? I can tell you, I got here tonight, Jen and I did, by faith. I want to show it to you. This is natural faith. Okay, the car's sitting in the garage. I go a little early, put the Bible in the car. So I go out to the car, and if you stop me, go, where are you going? I'm going to get in the car. What for? I'm going to church. How you know you are? Because I believe when I get in that car and do the right thing, it's going to crank. And you do? Well, how you feel? What has really got to do with it? Come on now. How you feel about it? Well, feelings don't have a cotton picker thing to do with it. Can you smell it? No. Can you taste it? Chew on the key, see if it's got a good taste. No. None of those five senses work. I just believe, and I'm walking to the car, and I get out, and I get the key. Whoa, what you doing now? I'm going to put it in the ignition. What for? I'm going to crank. How you know? I believe. Come on now. And I turn that sucker, and it cranks. Whoa. What a miracle. Hey, crank, honey, it cranked. Why, no, she comes out and gets in the car. Why'd she get in the car? We're going to move this thing. So what you going to do? We're going to put it in gear. What for? It's going to back up. How you know? I believe. You know, I got here by faith, natural faith. Well, listen, let's simplify. God don't make it complicated. If God said it, why don't we act like He said it and meant it? And just start acting in faith what He said. Come on now. If He said, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. If He said, I'm a son, I'm a son. If He said, I can, I can. What's that? How do you feel about it? What does that to do with it? Can you smell it? Can you taste? Can you? No, I don't care. He said it. That's enough. Wow. That's a new lifestyle. We're living by faith. And I know that's a little oversimplification of it, but we're talking about natural faith and supernatural faith because, listen, supernatural faith has a root in the revelation of what God has said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, the revelation, the rhema of God. Hallelujah. That's how we live. Once you get a word from God, camp on it. Don't move off of it. Don't let your feelings, don't let anybody talk you out of it. Pitch your tent, drive up your stake, say, hell, high water, I'm not moving. Right here, I got a word from God, and I'm sticking with it. Praise God. And you know, the people say, well, you know, God wouldn't lie. Listen to me. God can't. He can't lie. There's nothing in him to lie. He's truth. He's absolute truth. And that's how we all are learning how to live by faith. Everybody is. Nobody's arrived. But aren't you glad you can? You know, I noticed you guys came in here tonight. You're sitting here by faith because I didn't see a one of you check that seat out before you sat down. So I guess you're sitting in faith. Thank you, Jesus. It's a new lifestyle. Let me end here. It's a new revelation now. Paul said it like this. Verse 20, we're still in that one verse. For the Son of God loves me, gave himself for me. That's a revelation. Love is obviously the word, the original Greek word, agape, which is not, as I understand, pastor's the Greek man, as I understand, the word agape is not in classical Greek. It's only revealed in the revelation of Christianity. Now listen carefully. This love that God has for you don't benefit him. It benefits you. It don't make God any more God to love June. But it makes June a more wonderful person because he does. And that goes for all of us. Don't frustrate the grace of God. None of this is earnable, but all receivable as we submit our heart in faith to the Lord. It's all a grace thing. You know, I'm not an Arminian. I'm not a Calvinist. Somewhere in there, I kind of fit in somewhere. But let me just say this to you. This is what I believe. And Pastor can correct me. He can get up in a minute and correct me. The question is, how far did Adam fall? Did he fall nearly all the way? Or did he fall into sin and lose what he had? My belief is when Adam fell, he hit the dirt. So that from the dirt back into God's glory, it has to be all grace, none of Adam. He can't earn it. He can't buy it. He can yield to it and repent of his sin. But it's all available in the grace of God. No man, we're all going to do this. No man or woman stand before the Lord and go, "Hey, think I did?" I think when we get there, we'll just say, "Lord, thank you for the wonder of your grace, that you made yourself available to me so that I could live for you and with you on planet Earth while I was there. Thank you." Wow, it's a new revelation of the love of God. And it has, this juncture of my life has some encounters that I've had with the Lord within the last year has radically changed my life. Maybe it was Thursday. I'm not sure I'm right on my days. I think it was Thursday. No, I don't know, a day or two ago. Let me just say it like that. There two ago, you ever get anything in your brain and it just goes over and it goes over and you just rehearse it until, okay, all that day I sang the old hymn, "More of Jesus." Sang it all day in my brain. I don't mean out loud. I mean, I didn't go into a restaurant singing "More of Jesus." I didn't do that. But in my brain, I was going over and over. And that night when I... all night long, if I'd get up and go to the bathroom, I am singing that song in my brain when I'd wake up. And then it dawned on me, son, you're singing the desire of your heart. And so I started looking for the old hymn written by a dear lady that was incapacitated, had incredible spinal back issues with excruciating pain. She wrote it in the 1800s, and Mr. Sweeney put the music to it. May I give it to you? Listen to it. It's your heart. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus on the throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase. More of His coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus. Isn't that what this grace is all about? It's like, you know, eating a little honey. When it's one little bite says, you want another? And then another? And no wonder the Lord said, taste and see that He is good. And I believe in every saved heart. You may not sing it like I did all day. There is a song down in there that said, thank you for where I am. But I know there's more and more and more. Don't frustrate the grace of God. He's made Himself and what His Son has done available to you. Embrace it with your submission. And embrace it in your faith into your heart. Watch God change you from glory to glory to glory. And it's not about what I can do. It's what He's done that I'm willing to receive. I hope that makes sense to you. It's a desire of my heart. And I'm walking in a challenge of the Lord that when He said to me a few months ago, how real am I to you? I would love to go home to be with the Lord with the testimony that Catherine Kuhlman had. I would love to. Her testimony was, He's more real to me than the air I breathe. Oh, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? More of Jesus would I learn. More of His holy will discern. Wow. Go sing that for a few days. See what God says to your heart. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the wonder of Your grace. I pray for myself in the beginning, myself first, and for the rest of us, that we will understand how not to frustrate the grace of God. Thank You. Thank You for every listening heart as I perceive from this pulpit hunger, reaching out for more. Thank You. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Pastor, I guess I'm finished.
Thank you, Pastor Dot. Wasn't that wonderful? Just a quick question. If you were to sing tonight a song that would express what the desire of your heart has been through this week, what song would it be?
Mm.
Thank you for sharing that and just the whole, for opening up the scripture and just the awakening in our hearts, just hearing the word. I love God's word, and I'm grateful tonight that we've got to hear this. Would you stand with me? And after the amen, if there's anyone here that if you are in need of prayer, please just let us know. I know Pastor Doc will be here, as will I. Thank you for joining with us here tonight. And Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the refreshing that your Holy Spirit brings us through your word. Thank you for Pastor Doc and the time you and he spent together and to bring this word forth. And Lord, we thank you for the fruit that will be born because of the seeds that have been deposited in our hearts tonight. I pray as we go, we would be mindful that you go before us and you go with us. I pray that we'd be mindful there are others who don't even know how much they need to know you. Remind us of that, Lord, when we're around them. And help us to see the on-ramps, the bridges, the open doors that present themselves to us to share how good you are with other people who haven't met you yet. We pray, Lord, for this entire church family. We just declare no plague will come near our dwelling. Amen. We declare in the name of Jesus, as our day, so shall our strength be. Amen. We declare that greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. Amen. We declare that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So we go forth in your name, Lord, and by your blood, thanking you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here.